following is a Journey into Comics Network production.
Hey.
What's up? This is Tyler from Podcastrophy, and you're listening to the Best of the Week, highlights from all the shows that aired on the network this past week. Kick back, relax, don't tread on my heritage, and enjoy. Heritage.
And here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics.
Man, I'm just going to get right into this shit, you guys. So something happened that really upset me. And this was like at the start of San Diego Comic-Con. And it's typically like this is the time of the year where we're getting really exciting news, happy news. Lots of good stuff is coming out. And, let's just say we'll start at the very beginning here. So James Gunn has been fired from Disney and will not be making Guardians of the Galaxy 3 or any other Disney movies after his past social media posts came to light. Gunn, had said some pretty... Okay, listen. James Gunn said some pretty weird stuff. But he was being... Listen, I think this is an art form that's been lost, but I feel like sarcasm in this country has 100% been lost because everyone gets too butthurt or gets too easily offended when anything is said that they don't necessarily agree with. Their first assumption is to do what? It's to, boom, immediately try to exploit people, right? So James Gunn in 2009 made some tweets that, I mean, literally had 9 or 10 likes. No one is liking these. These are back when he's a nobody, okay? He tweeted like 3 men and a baby they had sex with # unromantic movies. It was probably in regards to, I don't know, whatever, you know, he's making some pedophile jokes. He is making some, other kind of really risque expose type jokes that you don't typically want your director to hear, or you don't want to hear your director saying or doing. But here's the thing. James Gunn did this in 2009. This is years before he gets hired on at Disney to do Guardians of the Galaxy. This is years before the success of that movie. This is years before the success of the second movie and the success of Avengers Infinity War, which arguably had some James Gunn in it. So, James Gunn gets fired over these offensive tweets and essentially, He actually had made, okay, listen, here's the thing. In 2012, so even still before he worked at Disney, right, he came out and said, hey, look, I made some tweets that were pretty undesirable back in the day. I was just trying to get over as a comedian and say some fucking weird shit. And it was just, you know, you try weird fucking jokes and maybe say stuff that's taken it too far. But as a comedian, what can you do? It's what fucking comedians do. They take shit too far. It's why they're comedians, because they're not afraid to say the shit that everyone else is afraid to say. So he said, he actually wrote a message on Twitter saying, many people who have followed my career know where I started. This is from James Gunn. I viewed myself as a provocateur, making movies and telling jokes that were outrageous and taboo. As I have discussed publicly many times, as I've developed as a person, so is my work and my humor. It's not to say I'm better, but I am very, very different than I was a few years ago. Today, I try to root my work in love and connection and less in anger. My days saying something just because it's shocking and trying to get a reaction are over. He continued on by saying, in the past, I have apologized for the humor of mine that hurt people. I truly felt sorry and meant every word of my apology. For the record, I made these shocking jokes. I wasn't living them out. I know this is a weird statement to make, as it seems obvious, but still, here I am saying it. So he, you know, he apologizes. And that was before they axed him. So then, in regards to them axing him, a petition was started. Now, here's the fucked up thing. I started a petition as well. This guy's fucking petition caught fire before mine, I guess, which, fuck, okay, fine. But this dude's petition, it has 129,148 signatures on its way to 150,000 signatures. However, mine does not have anywhere near that. Oh, actually... Interesting. I think I just, I don't know. My, wow, cool. That's interesting. So like I said, I started one of these too. And, well, here it's weird. It's like glitching. The change.org thing is glitching. So I don't know. I don't actually know my petitions. Let's see if I can see this. Wow, my petitions. Actually, I have 108 supporters on this. And lots of people commenting with reasons for signing coming from all over the place. Post an update. I'll do that later. That doesn't matter. But anyways, the other one, which we'll probably link here too, that petition has 129,000 signatures. Go sign it. I want to see James Gunn back in his director's seat for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I think this is a massive mistake on Disney's part. Disney, I get it. You know, James Gunn made some over-the-line jokes. Guess what, Disney? You've made some over-the-line fucking racially driven and subversive fucking sexually driven movies. There are penises in fucking The Little Mermaid, bro. And I'm not talking like the pictures of penis in Little Mermaid. I mean, there are phallic things that are in the Little Mermaid movie. You can see clear as day. And I mean, there are racially driven things in Mulan that are a little bit over the line, and all kinds of things that Disney has done that are not necessarily the current status quo, but they're not getting thrown under the fucking bus. And, you know, and typically I have championing of Disney and the things they're doing, but right now I am not very thrilled with how this is all going. So I'm not the only one that's not happy with how things are going. There are many people that are spoken out. I'm going to comment from different people here. We're going to kind of work, well, we're going to work from the first one that said something to some of the more recent things. So the first person to speak out says, and this is Dave Bautista, also known as Drax the Destroyer. He says, I will have more to say, but for right now, all I will say is this. James Gunn is one of the most loving, caring, and good-natured people I have ever met. He's gentle and kind and cares deeply for people and animals. He's made mistakes. We all have. I'm not okay with what's happening to him. So Bautista throws that down. Dave Bautista also went on to say that this is bigger than Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Let's see. Here are some things he said. Let's see. He continued on Twitter. Mr. Bautista said, what do you do when the cyber Nazis attack you? Who will you stand by? Bautista tweeted. Who will the cowardly distance themselves from you? Who will punish you for horrible jokes in the past instead of defending you and for inspiring millions, redemption and justice? This, Bautista tweeted. What's happened here is so much bigger than Guardians 3. James Gunn, myself at Disney, etc. This was a cyber Nazi attack that succeeded. Unless we start to unite together against this crap, whether people are offended or not, it's going to get much worse. It can happen to anyone. Okay, so then let's see. Another person that I'm trying to figure out what order I want to do this. Okay. So then another person that spoke out on James Gunn's behalf, which wasn't really a surprise, obviously, was his brother. And Sean Gunn says, and this is a lot to take in, folks, so get ready to take in a lot of what I'm about to say here as I go through all of Sean Gunn's tweets. He starts with saying, I hope it goes without saying that I love and support my brother James, and I am quite proud of how kind, generous, and compassionate he is with the people in his life, whether they are friends, family, colleagues, fans, or strangers. Since he was a kid, it was clear he had a desire, maybe destiny, to be an artist, tell stories, find his voice through comics, films, his band. The struggle to find that voice was sometimes clunky, misguided, or downright stupid, and sometimes wonderful, moving, and hilarious. Since devoting his entire life to the Guardians movies and MCU 6 years ago, I've seen him channel that voice into his work on those movies and seen him transform from the guy who made up things to shock people. I saw firsthand when he went from worrying about softening his edge for a larger audience to realize that his edge wasn't as useful of a tool as he thought it was, that his gift for storytelling was something better. I saw that he was more open-hearted than the guy who needed to get a rise out of people when making nasty or offensive jokes or whatever you choose to call them. I don't think his bluer material was ever his funniest, and neither does Mom. In many respects, this change in my brother was reflected in the change that the Guardians go through. I've heard my brother say this many times, that Quill rallies the team with the "This is our chance to give a shit, to care." That's the pep talk he himself needed to hear. It's part of what made working on the Guardians movie, such a rewarding experience for the cast, myself included. We managed to find ourselves involved in a big-budget superhero movie that was, at its core, deeply personal. Sorry about that. That's a gift, and that's why it's good. This isn't new information, by the way. All the stuff that James has explained many times in interviews, in more detail and more eloquently. So it's not some new spin. It's always been a part of the story. So I guess my hope is that fans continue to watch and appreciate the Guardians movies, not despite the fact that the filmmaker used to be kind of a jackass, but because of it. They are, after all, movies about discovering your best self. Working on those movies made my brother a better person, and they made me one too. I'm proud of that. Peace. Damn, moving words from Sean Gunn. Fucking shout out to him. I'm sure he and his family are all just dealing with fucking total bullshit right now. We've got more people discussing James Gunn's firing, and it's like all over the place here. How about this? We've got the former Daredevil showrunner, Stephen S. DeKnight. Said this, been traveling all day back and forth to SDCC, not completely caught up, but deeply saddened on all fronts. That's all I have for now. In regards to, he said, I am in no way defending what he said in the past, nor is he. I can only speak, personally towards the man I've met in the present. People have said similar things to me in the past 24 hours. It's exactly what people like Chernovich want, to scare people like me into silence. Not going to happen. These are extraordinary times in which the ideals of America very much feel like they're teetering on the edge of authoritarian abyss. I'd rather risk my livelihood fighting against that than stay silent and risk losing the very soul of democracy. The offensive attitudes and statements on James' Twitter feed... Okay, hold on. Oh, this is from Walt Disney. We've already discussed that. Okay, so I'm going to continue on. To some more people here, how about two of the more important cast members of Guardians of the Galaxy, Zoe Saldana, who plays Gamora, and Chris Pratt, who plays Star-Lord. Zoe says, it's been a challenging weekend, I'm not going to lie. I'm pausing myself to take everything in before I speak out of term. I just want everyone to know that I love all members of my GOTG family, always will. Chris Pratt, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. So they're not really saying a lot, but they're essentially subtly showing their support. Here's the deal, guys. Batista like doesn't give a fuck. I think Batista's like, who you're gonna replace me with? Really, you're gonna bring Brock Lesnar in here to be me? I don't think that's gonna work out for you so well, partner. Dave Bautista as Drax is phenomenal, right? It's one of the things that really works. So he doesn't have to worry about anything. But Chris Pratt has kind of a rapport with Disney. He's trying to, you know, get that Disney money long term and make Star-Lord something even better. So he's, I would assume, probably a little afraid to speak out against Disney's actions here. I'm hoping that everybody does this and speaks out against Disney's actions because I feel it's totally hypocritical. The past is far in the past, and we need to continue to just move on here. Now, I'm not done moving on yet because there's a couple more things that happened in conjunction with Mr. James Gunn's firing unceremoniously from the Guardians franchise. Another person here is Mr. Michael Rooker quits Twitter after everything that has gone on with James Gunn's firing. He tweeted this on Sunday. This account will be inactive after today. We're very tired and upset over the ongoing bullshit. Neither I nor my rep will use Twitter again. Twitter sucks and I want nothing to do with it. Thank you to all who gave kind words and support. See you on Instagram. The account encouraged to follow him, saying, we're sorry I had to come to this and we will miss most of you. Hashtag goodbye. And it just, oh man, I mean, Rooker is doing this as protest, and I think I appreciate it. Here's the fucked up thing, guys. You know, James Gunn was supposed to kind of be the guy that helped them, Marvel, that is, make the cosmic side of their universe larger than life and bigger and crazier, right?
From the suburbs of Chicago and Illinois, this is The Paul Report with your host, Andrew Bohr.
Like I said, with San Diego Comic Con, it was kind of different than years past. We didn't have HBO, Marvel, or Star Wars there in their cinematic or in their movie world to really plug anything. So it was a little bit different. So it concluded on Sunday because San Diego Comic Con is kind of the big Comic Con that's been going on since the 70s. So 48 years later, SDCC spent the last decade as a mecca for things that were once the purview of a very specific fan community but are now increasingly considered mainstream entertainment. This year, however, many high-profile mainstream nerd properties sat out the convention. Although this may have disappointed some fans, there's a silver lining. It's a reminder that SDCC existed long before the movie and TV producers came calling, and it will continue to even after pop culture turns away from the nerd content. Despite the absence, the 2018 program schedule was massive. Adidas attendance has long since outgrown the massive San Diego Convention Center where the main events are held, and now includes satellite locations including the city's library, its largest theater, and other hotel convention halls. Major shows like Doctor Who and Star Trek had headlining panels, DC Comics and its extended films universe had high profiles all weekend, offering panels on Wonder Woman 2 along with Aquaman, which it desperately hopes will be hits. Entertainment sites stream live from the event for those who cannot afford to attend. The ascendant nerd pop culture of our era is still a major force to be reckoned with, and those able to capitalize on it are still riding the wave for all it's worth. But it wasn't always that way. Up until this century, SDCC was a modest comic convention like any other with attendance in the 30,000 to 40,000 range. During those years, nerd properties were their own little fiefdom. Star Trek nerds, for instance, went to Star Trek conventions, something like SDCC, which was first and foremost a comic book-focused convention, was meant primarily for those who read comics. But as comic conventions slowly became more generalized, SDCC was perfectly positioned for the sci-fi and fantasy boom of the end of the 90s. Beginning around 2000, the Star Wars prequels, Lord of the Rings films, and a rapidly growing Marvel movie fan base meant being a nerd suddenly didn't seem like a thing to be ashamed of anymore. Attendance began spiking at SDCC as these properties held panels at the events. By 2004, the convention had taken over the entire San Diego Convention Center. By 2006, it began to overtop capacity attendance, leaving some to argue that the nerds had lost their space to Hollywood and the mainstream, maybe for good. Movie and TV studios had moved to take advantage of the captive audience, and SDCC's proximity to Los Angeles gave it a leg up over other conventions in places like New York and London. In 2007, Marvel Comics even used the platform for Marvel Studios to market its first release, Iron Man. By 2015, the year Star Wars The Force Awakens debuted with much fanfare, SDCC was attracting close to 170,000 attendees and become a standalone yearly event on the entertainment calendar. And yet, in the last couple of years, attendance has begun to fall back, some of this due to the production studios themselves. Disney, which is forever trying to do everything in-house, now uses its own conventions, the Star Wars Celebration and D23, to market new projects. As a result, there was little regarding the upcoming sequel, Episode 9, at SDCC this year. Similarly, and for the first time since 2007, Marvel Studios, now owned by Disney, wasn't pushing any of its properties either. Some Marvel film properties came, but they were owned by rival studio Sony. Disney will instead focus its modest presence primarily on animated Star Wars offerings, with its biggest panel being a far more niche 10-year anniversary commemoration of the Clone Wars. On the TV side, this was the first year since Game of Thrones began airing that the HBO show was not present. Westworld wasn't represented either, meaning the HBO sat this year out entirely. Netflix, after making an aggressive push in 2017, also backed off somewhat, with its arguably biggest offering being the second season follow-up to one of the biggest flops, Iron Fist. Did these absences change the nature of SDCC? Perhaps. Comic conventions are becoming victims of their own success. Local events have swelled in attendance this decade, with new ones popping up all the time. Washington, D.C., for instance, did not have a comic convention of its own until 2013. This year, AwesomeCon celebrated 5 years with diverse attendance that hit close to 70,000 people. Why fly across the country when one can attend a smaller and more intimate convention at home? Shout out to LaFeeCon, where the Journey into Comics Network was a big player this past couple weeks back. Now, and will be an even bigger player next year, hopefully. If attendance continue to fall and production houses continue to find new ways to market their films and TV shows, conventions like SDCC may have to contract to keep up with the times, but SDCC was never supposed to be about prestige TV stars or mainstream contents. Its original purpose was to celebrate the niche and nerdy and allow every fan base a moment to shine. Maybe with a little less star power, they can again. So that's a little fun, and I'm not going to talk about this briefly because I know a lot of people already know about this, is that Shark Week 2018 is here. all this week. You can get all your Shark Week content. Shark Week 23 in the summer, a tradition airing each year on the Discovery Channel, begins Sunday night, which was two nights ago for those of you paying attention. So definitely keep an eye out for that. You can watch on Discovery Channel for the 8 days that it goes on. You can go to the Discovery Go app and watch it. I guess Shaq is doing Shark Week. So Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player and actor and all that, is featured in Shaq Does Shark Week, airing Sunday at 9 p.m. So he's doing it with Rob Riggle and a couple other guys. They're also doing Shark Tank meets Shark Week. And Discovery Channel is really getting into it. There's alien sharks, which sounds interesting. So Naked and Afraid of Sharks. So yeah, definitely things to keep interested. I know my fiance Liz loves Shark Week and is probably watching all this stuff. And I like Shark Week. Nothing will beat the movie Deep Blue Sea for me or Jaws, but sharks are always entertaining and mystical in some regards. So definitely always fun. But getting out of this to probably why a lot of you actually listen to the show, which is for my Trump-related content. And that kind of jumps right into everything I talked about last week with the whole Trump-Putin thing in Helsinki. So here's an article from CNN Politics. This is Chris Saliza from The Point under CNN Politics. Donald Trump can't seem to dig his way out of his own Russia contradictions. On Sunday, President Donald Trump tweeted this. So President Obama knew about Russia before the election. Why didn't he do something about it? Why didn't he tell our campaign? Because it's all a big hoax, that's why. And he thought Crooked Hillary was going to win. I don't know why I keep saying Crooked Hillary every time. It's been 2 years since the election. You can just let it go. The message seemed clear. The entire investigation into Russia's active interference in the 2016 election was a hoax, which would be somewhat odd given that the intelligence community unanimously concluded that Russia not only worked to meddle in the election, but did so to help Trump and hurt Hillary Clinton. But given Trump's repeated refusal to acknowledge the fact, including while standing next to Russian President Vladimir Putin last week in Helsinki, Finland, it all made a weird sort of sense. Except, of course, when Trump said it's all a big hoax. He wasn't actually talking about the Russian investigation currently being led by Special Counsel Robert Mueller, at least according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. He's referring to the claim that his campaign had anything to do with it, she explained to reporters Monday morning. Which, okay, maybe in a vacuum that explanation makes sense, maybe, but the context of Trump's last week suggests a simple pattern. Trump says or tweets what he believes, and then his White House staff tries to explain it away even as he kind of sort of works to undermine their explanation. The result is a president and a White House choking on their own contradiction and falsehoods on an issue. A rogue nation meddling in our democracy that sits at the heart of the American experiment. Let's go through some of that context. 7 days ago in Helsinki, Trump refused to condemn Putin for election interference, and instead said that both Russia and the United States were to blame for the election meddling. He added that he had asked Putin directly whether Russia orchestrated an interference campaign. He just said, it's not Russia. And Trump said, I don't see any reason why it would be. The following day, so Tuesday, Trump was forced to issue the rarest of rarities for him. A clarification. Reading slowly from a message written on a piece of paper in front of him, Trump said that he had meant to say wouldn't rather than would in the sentence above. It should have read, according to Trump, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be, meaning he figured Russia had meddled. There was no explanation offered for why, if this was all one big misunderstanding over mistaken word choice. Trump didn't see fit to correct it in either of the interviews he gave with Fox News between when he held the press conference with Putin on Monday and when he issued the clarification Tuesday. Then came an exchange on Wednesday between Trump and a reporter who asked him whether Russia was still targeting the U.S. No, Trump replied, setting off an entirely new controversy. But wait, said Sanders, Trump wasn't responding to the question of whether Russia is targeting the U.S. He was simply saying no. He didn't want to take any questions except, well, he took several more questions after the no response. Maybe one of the incidents could be explained away by slip of the tongue or media misinterpretation, but three misunderstandings in a single week, all about the same topic, seems extremely unlikely. The reason for all this confusion and clashing messaging is simple. The President of the United States has had a set of convictions as it relates to Russia and their attempts to interfere in the 2016 election that are directly at odds with the nation's intelligence community and everyone else, not named Devin Nunes, in a position to know what they're talking about. Trump is unwilling slash incapable of decoupling these two ideas. One, Russia tried to meddle in the election to help him, and two, he is president anyway. Acknowledging the first doesn't invalidate the second, Russia can have tried to cheat the system and Trump could have won fair and square anyway. Everyone around him sees that, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the CIA director, the FBI director, the director of national intelligence, and what they also see is the Russian is already back at their meddling, buoyed by the success they achieved in 2016. Even as Russia plots and executes the plan, the White House remains stuck in a neutral dealing with the threat. Because the president just can't bring himself to say these sentences. Yes, Russia tried to interfere in our elections. I didn't collude with them, and there was no impact on the outcome. Still, Russia has proven itself to be a bad actor on the national stage, and I will treat them that way until their behavior changes. Instead, Russia is choking Trump's presidency and sowing chaos in the country, which is exactly what Putin wants. Which makes sense. Like, if Trump really just came out and said that sentence, I'll say it again. Yes, Russia tried to interfere in our election. I didn't collude with them, and there was no impact on the outcome. Still, Russia has proven itself to be a bad actor on the national stage, and I'll treat them that way until their behavior changes. If he said that, I feel like the conversation would be over, but he keeps fighting everything about this collusion thing because he thinks that invalidates his presidency. And it may. It could still be a lie. He could have definitely colluded with them. We don't have all the information. We know Russia interfered. Whether that affected the outcome or not remains to be seen. I still think the Comey letter really changed the whole frame of the election. But that's just my two cents. And moving on from that article to another article from BBC News is U.S. President reverses remark on Russia meddling. So this is BBC, so British news. U.S. President Donald Trump has said he accepts U.S. intelligence agency's conclusion that Russia interfered in the 2016 election despite declining to do so just a day ago. He said he had misspoken on Monday. So this is kind of a repeat, but there's a little more going on in this article. He said he had misspoken on Monday, and he had meant to say he saw no reason why it was not Russia that meddled. The original comment after he met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki drew a barrage of criticism. Even some of Mr. Trump's allies had urged him to clarify his stance. In his latest remarks, he added that he had full faith and support in U.S. intelligence agencies. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is to appear before Congress next week to answer questions on what happened during Mr. Trump's two-hour meeting with the President Putin on Monday. But the damage is done. Does Donald Trump believe in ominous metaphors? As he affirmed his support for U.S. intelligence agencies, the light went to black in the White House conference room. Once order was restored, he said he had been in the dark as to why the storm had swirled around his presidency since his Helsinki summit with Vladimir Putin. It was, he said, because he had misspoken. That is going to be hard for many of the president's critics to swallow. However, even if he did mean to say, I don't see why it wouldn't be Russia, is a pretty weak way to confront the head of a nation accused of targeting the heart of American democracy. What is it? Though the context of the president's comments made a simple slip of the tongue seem less likely. At the very least, the president gave his supporters some material to rally around. The damage, however, has been done. Mr. Trump can give as many White House statements as he likes, but on the biggest stage, standing beside the Russian president, he fumbled. All the explanations cannot change that. What Trump said then? The country centers on a response he gave to a question at a news conference on Monday following the summit with Mr. Putin. This is an extract from the transcript posted by the White House. President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? This is from a reporter. Trump. My people came to me. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be. What he says now. Mr. Trump said he had reviewed the transcript and realized he needed to clarify. In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't, he said. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't or why it wouldn't be Russia. Sort of a double negative. The U.S. president added, I accept our intelligence community conclusion that Russian meddling in the 2016 election took place. Could be other people also, a lot of people out there. Mr. Trump said the interference had no impact on the election in which he defeated Hillary Clinton. However, he did not respond when the reporter asked if he would condemn Mr. Putin. During the press conference with President Putin, in the same answer as the transcript above, Mr. Trump went on to say, President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today, and what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with the investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer. On Wednesday, Mr. Trump sent a tweet that Russia had agreed to help with North Korea, adding the process is moving along. There is no rush. The sanctions remain. Big benefits and exciting future for North Korea at the end of process, the president wrote. He said that his meeting with Mr. Putin was positive and may prove to be, in a long run, a success. He added that because he got along with the Russian leader, it bothered many haters, he quotes. So, how great is the outrage? Chuck Schumer, leader of the opposition Democrats in the Senate, said Mr. Trump's retraction of his previous comments was a sign of weakness. He made a horrible statement, tried to back off, but couldn't even bring himself to back off, he told the Senate. It shows the weakness of President Trump, that he is afraid to confront Mr. Putin directly. Republicans and Democrats alike were dumbfounded that Mr. Trump had sided with Russia over his own intelligence officials after Monday's summit. The U.S. and Russia have been long-term adversaries and remain far apart on major issues. Some lawmakers were also upset that Mr. Trump had refused to offer specific criticism of Russia and Mr. Putin, instead saying both countries were responsible for poor relations. This, to me, kind of goes back to the whole thing of when there were the riots in the South with the alt-right, and he said that both sides were at fault, or there was fault on both sides. Even one of his most loyal Republican supporters, Newt Gingrich, said the comments were the most serious mistake of his presidency. House Republican Mike Turner accused Mr. Trump of having damaged American foreign policy by failing to take Russia to task.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
Guys, we are not invading Miami.
So we'll put Empire on it here. All right, folks. Keep moving along. And a 12 seed of the Gremlins versus the high seed of the Breakfast Club. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
AP is the odd man out. Ooh, care to defend?
You really love Gremlins.
I just really love
it's
Gremlins.
His cat, man.
It was my first pets was
it one of your first pets is Gizmo. And is it directly because of your love for the movie when you were a child?
Yes.
So it's all correlated.
It's all correlated.
Okay.
But I don't think I can sway anyone. It's just a really good movie.
I agree.
And it's Spielberg. And it's a Christmas movie. And it's actually really violent for a kid's movie.
I'm keeping mine.
Same. All right. All right, so the next one up is we've got a 6 seed of Who Framed Roger Rabbit up against the 14 seed of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. This is a very, very, very hard decision. Take a second.
It's a what versus what?
It's okay. You've got your high seed of Who Framed Roger Rabbit versus your low seed of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Is everybody ready to make your vote?
Yeah.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Oh.
Oh, shit.
Okay, I mean, I get it. I don't think I need to... I mean, I concede here, honestly. I love Bill and Ted. It is a most excellent movie. But Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you guys had said it. There's just something special about
too
it.
Too good.
Mm-hmm. It is too
it's
good.
It's too good.
It is too
Jessica
good.
Jessica Rabbit. Yeah.
Why don't Bill and Ted's is right there. They're like the...
neck and neck.
They're like the B side of the situation,
most
I feel like.
Absolutely. And they're coming out with a sequel.
Yeah.
Bill and Ted
Face the Music.
I thought that there was some problems with that.
No, it's still on track as far as I know.
Yeah, Keanu and Alex both came out and said that they've got like their scripts already and that they've got everything lined up.
They're actually going to be the older versions of themselves, which is funny. They always reference in the...
That's what I'm hoping. I recently read an article that said that
they weren't
going to do it, but whatever.
All right, here's an interesting one. This is going to definitely change the landscape here.
Mm-hmm.
We've already got a bracket buster in the game here.
Is this Nightmare versus Innerspace?
It is Nightmare on Elm Street versus Innerspace now, folks. All right, so take your time. Take a second, V. You know what you're picking?
High seed, Nightmare.
High seed is Nightmare at 7. Low seed is Innerspace at a 15.
All right.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
shit.
Now it's interesting.
Now it is interesting.
Okay, so Innerspace is in the lead.
Yeah.
3-2. Mm-hmm. AP, Lauren, would you like to defend Nightmare on Elm Street?
It has a young Johnny Depp in it.
Oh, my God, I know.
His first role.
Yeah.
There's a lot of blood in that
but he
movie.
Died in it.
Yeah,
true,
but it was the first ever incarnation of Freddy Krueger ever on screen.
That is true.
I'm flipping.
I love the scene in there where he walks up and he's like, "Hey, Tina, watch this." He chops off his own fucking finger, like,
or the part like in the alley with like the long arms.
Yeah,
on the other
it's so
side.
Goofy. Okay, switching.
Yeah.
Switching.
I.
Sorry.
It's hard.
Martin
it's
Troy.
Hard because it's Innerspace is a great movie.
Yeah.
Switch to Unanimous.
All right. A Nightmare Lives On.
The dream is on.
Maybe that'll be their next Nightmare movie. The Nightmare Lives On.
The Nightmare in Innerspace.
The Nightmare in Martin Short.
That sounds gross.
It's just his psychosis from after the trauma of having Dennis Quaid inside of him. He just keeps hearing a tiny voice.
Just Freddy Krueger played by Martin Short.
Okay, well, we're back to the top here. Now we're going to be finding out our final four.
Okay.
Okay.
The final
four. Well, on one side. Mm-hmm. And then we'll come. You guys know how it's going to work out. So, this one's going to be a lot tougher, guys. We got the one seed of Aliens, which is your high seed, versus the five seed of Ghostbusters. Which is your low seed. Ghostbusters versus Aliens. And are you guys ready? Mm-hmm. Three, two, one.
Three highs to two lows. Do you guys want to defend?
I already defended earlier. Bill Murray.
Okay, I can defend it in two words. Ellen Ripley.
Yeah.
Sigourney Weaver is also in Ghostbusters.
Aliens was supposed to be written for a dude.
Yeah.
And she was cast. And she changed the landscape of women in horror films and action films forever.
I vibe that.
She was fucking boss.
But Sigourney Weaver is also in Ghostbusters. Yeah. And Rick
Moranis is in it.
Yeah, but she's not Ellen Ripley.
Okay.
But really, who is Ellen Ripley at the end of the day?
A giant Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Yeah. Slimer. Think of your childhood. Jesus.
It doesn't matter. None of us are changing our votes. Jesse, are you changing your vote?
Locked in.
All right. We're locked in Aliens.
All right.
Okay.
Game over, man. Game over.
Okay.
Dirty Dancing is our 14 seed up against our 10 seed of Heathers. So Heathers is your high seed. Dirty Dancing is your low seed.
Oh, fuck. This is awful. I love these movies so much.
Dirty Dancing is low.
What
Heathers is high, Dirty Dancing is low. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Are you just mixing yours because you don't know what you're going to pick?
Three, two, one, go. Oh.
Two highs to three lows in favor of
Dirty Dancing.
Patrick Swayze.
But for an ultimate 80s movie, Heathers is so quotable. Like, you can quote every single line of it. The clothes are insane. I can.
Oh. But you love that movie.
I do. But I also love Dirty Dancing.
Can you quote all the lines in that movie?
Yes, I can.
So then that's
that's why this is so hard for me.
Mm-hmm. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Nobody does put baby in the corner.
Shit, Dirty Dancing.
Gently with a chainsaw. No. Oh, God.
Don't you forget about me. Don't you forget about me.
That's Breakfast Club. I know.
I've had the time.
You're being funny.
Man,
fine. I'll let Dirty Dancing have it. It's a happier movie. I'd rather watch Dirty Dancing over Heathers anyway, I guess.
I already know what's coming, so I'm just going to get ready for it. Well, the one seed of Empire Strikes Back, which is your high, versus the low seed of The Breakfast Club. You guys ready?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Three, two, one.
Breakfast Club for the win.
Unanimous. Somebody talk while I'm writing.
Well, I'm super disappointed that Heathers is no longer in the running, seeing as it was like my top pick.
Oh, one of your brackets ended there.
Yeah, one of my brackets ended at Heathers, so I'm disappointed.
Okay.
I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
So this one is Who Framed Roger Rabbit versus A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ooh. What's high and low?
Roger Rabbit is six, and Nightmare on Elm Street is seven.
Yeah.
Wow, this is the closest we've had.
So, the highest seed is Who Framed? Got it.
Damn, this is going to be hard.
All right.
One, two, three. High seed, low seed.
Sorry,
Nate, you're the on man out. Care to defend?
I can't. Right? I mean, we've already discussed both movies kind of ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. We know why Roger Rabbit's dope. We understand why you guys...
Okay, I'm going to change mine to the low seed because that's what I originally had.
Let's put a smile on that face.
That's... Goddamn, that fucking Dark Knight.
Oh my God, AP, you're all over the place today.
These are his quote. Buttons for next season.
No
all
shit.
The misquotes. Or
no
all
shit.
The wrong...
I mean,
but
they could work. They could work in these movies. Yeah.
I just think that Nightmare on Elm Street is quintessential 80s horror, like I said.
It's hard with the genre.
It is. It is difficult because it's a more genre piece. With Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it's definitely more of an adult movie, but it did cater to children in some aspects.
More
some stuff goes over their heads. I concede. I think I can concede here. Are you okay with us conceding to this?
To what?
To letting Who Framed Roger Rabbit go on versus Nightmare.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Final four? for that side now?
Yeah.
All right. Tell us what we have, Nate.
I'm getting ready to, my dude. I got to write it down.
Is it Alien and Dirty Dancing?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aliens versus Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
And Breakfast Club versus Who Framed Roger Rabbit are our next
round.
My brackets very, came down too.
That's very
80s. I nailed it.
Holy shit.
You nailed it?
I nailed it.
You got to. Nuh-uh.
I think he has. Holy shit. You almost have it exact, don't you? Christmas Story, Ghostbusters. Wait. You had Fast Times. Fast Times is the only thing you missed.
My later rounds,
I nailed.
All right, let's do it to it.
Shit.
Okay. Heather's totally fucked up.
High seed is Aliens. Low seed is Dirty Dancing. We have a 1 versus a 14 here.
All right.
This is a big...
Ultimate 80s
champion.
1, 2, 3.
Oh.
Am I defending
myself?
I'm with you, Jesse. I'm with you.
Okay, Dirty Dancing, guys. Come on. We already talked about Patrick Swayze. Don't put Baby in a corner.
It's so good.
It's Ellen Ripley.
It's Ellen Ripley. You guys kind of swayed me. And you said you were on board with Aliens the whole way throughout.
What is it called? The Catskills? Come on.
Yeah, and the Catskills.
It's Catskills.
Keller
Patrick Swayze is so much older than her. That's
old Jews.
That's borderline not okay. Yeah,
Patrick Swayze.
It's got everything. It's got great dancing. Great music, great dancing, a love story, political issues.
It's like freedom, women issues. You know, women in power coming to strength.
Yeah, you can't
put Baby
in the corner.
I'm locking in Aliens for my high seat.
I'm locking in Aliens as well.
Yeah, I'm staying.
Sorry.
All right, I'll concede.
I'm still not going to concede.
I'm just going to
be pissed about it. sit over there.
Just go, I sit, give up, go sit in the corner with Baby.
Aw, right. Jesse's over in the corner.
Don't put Jesse in the corner.
Okay, we've got the 4 seed, which is our high seed of the Breakfast Club, versus the 6 seed of Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
This one's tough.
1, 2, 3.
Wait. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was
high seed.
Okay.
Oh, crap.
Wait.
Breakfast Club is high seed. Sorry.
Breakfast Club is high seed.
Sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
Really? You guys are going to put Who Framed Roger Rabbit through over the Breakfast Club?
It's overrated.
Bullshit, woman. You love that movie.
I love that movie. Of course. I'm a girl. Of course I'm going to love that fucking movie.
I love that movie. It doesn't have to do with gender.
No, it's a great movie. I loved it. It was a night movie of mine for years. I'm going with the other one.
I mean, how many times do you get hyped when you hear Don't You Forget About Me and you just go back to being in the fucking Breakfast Club in that detention?
I know, but I'm over it.
I'll be alone dancing, you know it, baby.
I think we've lost again.
Oh, God damn it.
Fucking Roger Rabbit.
I mean, it is the Breakfast...
Are you serious?
Please? I don't know. Let me think about this.
Oh. Did I sway you at all? Molly Ringwald. What was it? Anthony Michael Hall? Did I get it right?
Judd Nelson.
Judd Nelson.
Fucking, he was so tough in that
movie.
Oh,
yeah. Badass. Mm-hmm. Totally. Mm-hmm. What's his name? The dude that's
such an
the...
asshole, though.
Ali Sheedy and Emilio Estevez.
Emilio Estevez.
But I love the other one so much.
Who's in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Name 3 people.
Christopher Lloyd, Bob Hoskins, Kathleen Turner.
Okay.
Roger Rabbit.
Fuck
Roger
me.
Rabbit.
Okay.
I love Jessica Rabbit. Like, I always wanted to be her when I was young.
Oh, I'm entrenched.
It's a cool, like, version of Hollywood, you know.
It's like an L.A. noir meets cartoon.
I'm just thinking, I don't know, when it comes down to this one, I was just going to go with whatever was a more quintessential 80s movie in
okay.
my head.
Sure. Yeah,
so
you're right.
So I have to go
you're
with
right.
The Breakfast Club.
If it's going to be ultimate, but I mean, Roger Rabbit, I
it's
just want to fight
80s.
For it because it's got Christopher Lloyd in it. And
it's also very 80s, but also very animated. And it could, I guess, also be like a 40s movie.
Who directed and wrote Roger Rabbit? Are they John Hughes?
No.
All right, fine.
Are you being swayed?
I can't not have a John Hughes movie make it through.
This really messes
God damn it.
My breakfast been busted for so
Sorry,
long.
Sorry, guys. I'm going with Breakfast Club.
Oh, man. That's
it
crazy.
Makes sense. It makes sense.
Good luck with Breakfast Club.
That was a political move.
What's our other
Again.
Option?
Aliens.
Yeah, Breakfast Club versus Aliens.
Is that what it's down to now?
Yeah, it is.
Breakfast Club versus Aliens for the ultimate 80s.
For one side.
Yeah, damn.
For one side of our bracket.
I don't know why I did this to myself.
Yeah, this is your fault, Lauren.
I created a monster.
My top and the
left
side have already been both outed.
Which one's high and low?
Aliens is your one seed. Breakfast Club is a four seed.
All right. One, two, three.
God damn it.
Oh.
Go faster.
Hold on. Okay. Wait. What?
Sorry. I'll be the deciding vote. How about that?
But then that means bias. That was what we were trying to avoid.
No, because I can't decide.
Oh, fair enough.
I was gonna put.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Aliens versus
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club.
It's tied. We've got two votes. Jesse,
you know
and
what?
I have
I'm going Breakfast Club.
Oh shit! Son.
I'm going Breakfast Club.
All right.
Sorry, Lauren.
Bam.
Sorry.
Aliens went really, I mean, not surprisingly. It's
I wanted Aliens
seed,
to go all the way.
Really
I really did. But
awesome.
For Ultimate
really hard
80s.
For me too. I don't know why I plugged so hard for Aliens because I put Aliens against Breakfast Club in my own ballot.
So this has been an ongoing battle for you.
I really wanted Aliens to get this far and I really wanted Breakfast Club to get this far. But when it came down to it, I wasn't ready to go through with it.
Yep. That's how I feel. That's how I feel too.
So before we cut this first half, because again, we're doing this now in two parts. We're going to take a quick breather here in a minute, folks. Before we get there, though, were there any of these picks that got further than you expected? Were there any that were put out way sooner than you expected that kind of shocked
I'm
you?
I'm shocked about Heather's. Honestly, I thought it was going to go further. It made it all the way to the end for me. It wasn't my final answer, which we'll get to that, but...
I had Ghostbusters a lot further than it.
I had Ghostbusters winning that side.
I had Ghostbusters up against Who Framed Roger Rabbit on mine.
I had Ghostbusters.
I had Breakfast Club going
Empire.
Pretty far.
Oh, yeah, Empire and Who Framed Roger Rabbit were my previous one.
My dad filled it out. He had the 12 seed of Fast Times at Ridgemont High up against the 4 seed of Breakfast Club on this side, and ultimately picked Breakfast Club as his winner. So. All right. Well, this has been part one of our two-part finale, folks. Stick around for part two. It's coming out the same day, so you guys are going to see it come out the exact same time as this episode dropped. Go check that out. Download it there. You'll get the end result of our bracket where we fill out the other round of 32 down to our finale, and we're going to see who is our ultimate 80s movie up against The Breakfast Club. Part two officially here. Part one was very exciting. AP, who was a part of part one, was the chosen one who is not here anymore.
In the short
time between recording these two episodes, he had to take off. So we are without AP. I will be reading on his behalf today. Joining me, as always, Miss Veronica. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you're back, as always.
I didn't go far.
You didn't go anywhere at all. Lauren, welcome back as well.
Hi.
And Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Still great?
I'm in a different chair. I'm in AP's chair now.
Yeah, he's got the captain's chair.
You've taken over AP's seat. Now, this is going to be a little more interesting because we are possibly looking at a lot of like tiebreakery things in this round.
We're going to have to use AP as like a wild card. Well, we'll just have to...
We'll look at his bracket and if like his decision on his bracket would be like an integral play.
A decision maker.
Moment,
yeah.
If it's going to affect the thing, we'll utilize it.
Okay. Good idea. And we can say what he picked anyway.
So in the first episode you guys were listening to, we got the bracket on the left side down to Aliens versus The Breakfast Club, a one seed versus a four seed, obviously.
I feel like that was an obvious inevitability.
Don't
you guys think?
Oh, absolutely. It made sense. It was interesting because actually Breakfast Club almost got beat out real early. I think Gremlins almost took it.
I made the determining decision because I looked at my bracket and Breakfast Club went pretty far in mine, you know?
Yeah. So we've already discussed that one and we've got that broken down. Breakfast Club is who we're going to see, who we're going to go up against now. We're going to start all the way in the top right here on our brackets, folks. And using our low seed, high seed from the first episode where low seed is the lower rated, high seed is the higher rated. We're going to throw them down on the 3-2-1 once we discuss it. Here we go for the very first one. We're doing Back to the Future.
One of your favorites.
One of my all-time favorites versus Short Circuit. Another great.
Which I think that was my addition to
Yes,
the
whole it
thing.
Was.
That
was
your
one of
contribution.
Your picks. And I love that movie. Johnny Number 5. Come on.
Right. It's I just mean, a feel-good
absolutely.
80s.
Absolutely. And then they fucked it up with the sequel.
Actually, I like Short Circuit too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think it resonated with me.
Like you
the
got
same.
A girlfriend, I think.
Yeah. But I don't know if, like I said, I'm just not sure if that movie. Anyways, okay. So on the 3, 2, 1, what's winning, you guys? Back to the Future or Short Circuit?
Back to the Future.
It's 3-1, Jesse holding true.
I mean, I was just saying.
Short Praising Circuit. Its glories.
But AP would have also picked BTTF.
So that's a unanimous nearly. I'll switch. I'll even concede because Back to the Future Part 1 is great.
It is great.
Classic movie. All right. V, do you want to take the next one?
Sure. We've got Field of Dreams versus The Neverending Story. You know.
Damn. What's the seating there?
Let's see.
An 8 Field versus a 9.
Yeah, Field of Dreams is an 8 versus The Neverending Story, which is a 9.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Is that all?
It's
high all? Seed, high seed, high seed, low seed.
And AP with Field of Dreams, high seed.
I'll let you guys have it.
Okay. Okay. So Field of Dreams is...
Isn't that the one with Dennis...
Kevin Costner.
It's Kevin Costner, Ray Liotta, James Earl Jones.
That's a great movie. That is an awesome baseball movie.
And it hits you
every
time.
If you build it, they will come.
Yep.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Field of Dreams.
Seriously?
Whoa. I wanted to pick Neverending Story, but I was just going to keep it going because I knew Field of Dreams was going to win out. Because it's definitely a quintessential ultimate 80s movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, The Neverending Story is fantastic. Yeah. I loved it. It was so scary as a kid. And it still holds up as an adult. Like, it's magical.
I always felt so bad when his horse got
eaten. Oh, my God.
Atreyu.
Yeah, Artex went down in the tar pit thingy. That was awful. Which is why Field of Dreams is the superior movie in this case. Specifically for that one scene where the horse eats it.
Yeah, it was a terrible scene. But then when
was
you're
traumatic.
Riding on the back of the furry Falcor. Dragon.
Yeah, Falcor.
Yeah, Falcor, then it, like, balances itself out.
Lauren,
well, at the end of the
one?
Movie where Artex is back, you know, spoilers.
Yeah. Who hasn't seen
that? Yeah, 30 years ago. Spoilers.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off versus 16 Candles, which didn't we say earlier that 16 Candles wasn't on this list?
AP didn't think it was, but he misread. I showed him where it was at. Because that is, like, I honestly like 16 Candles better than The Breakfast Club.
It's
so funny and so quotable and so weird. It's my favorite Molly Ringwald movie.
This is a really tough bracket.
Is the harder side for sure. This is definitely the harder side.
I mean, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is... it's like the ultimate 80s movie when you think about it.
It makes it pretty far.
For that reason, I'm going to go with 16 Candles.
I'm throwing down the high seeds. On the high seas. And AP, it's been 4-1 across the board every time so far. So it's pretty decisive here on this side. I think it's interesting because Ferris Bueller is just a phenomenal, phenomenal story and
Bueller.
Cleverly done. Bueller. It really launches Matthew Broderick into the star sphere after that. You know, he went on to do so many different things from TV to movies and whatnot. So. Ferris Bueller moves on. Who wants the next one?
I got it.
All right, Jesse, take it all.
It's a good one for you.
All right. We're starting with the high seed's Blues Brothers, and the low seed is E.T., which neither one of those, or no, I think Blues Brothers was on my original, but E.T. wasn't.
Yeah.
I think Blues Brothers was on my list, too.
E.T., we need to talk about this before we go further, before we vote on this. This actually was, at one point, Pretty Woman, but we learned Pretty Woman is a movie from 1990. For some reason, when I was doing all of the research, I did not see that. I missed it, and it was a flaw. We fixed it because I also missed that Lauren had E.T. on her list at all, so I just swapped
them. Perfect. It worked out.
It was
out.
A perfect plug-in. It worked out well, and they were actually similarly rated.
So. Right, what was high and low?
The Blues Brothers is a 9. And
high?
Is it a 9?
I don't know.
4.
No, 4. And then E.T. is a 13.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
Ready?
Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1. And E.T. takes it across the board. V, what's your thoughts on Blues Brothers here?
I love Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. I mean, they were on a mission from God.
We're on a mission from God.
You know, I work like right near where they filmed that, and it's kind of by like a racetrack for like NASCAR and stuff.
Sweet.
Oh yeah. So, yeah,
they
yeah.
have like a there's like a truck stop there where, you know, the police car from the Blues Brothers. They literally have it like on a spike, like up in the air.
That's awesome.
I've seen that.
I don't think it's their original car, but it's the same car.
It's like a replica.
You know?
Of
yeah.
One of them or something. Damn. That's dope. That's pretty cool. Super dope. Yeah, I'll concede. I'll let you guys have it. E.T. right. is the more 80s movie.
E.T. is
great. It was
great.
Too sad for me. I didn't like E.T.
This next one's tough. This next one's not easy. It's Batman, 1989 Batman, which is your high seed, versus They Live, which is your low seed. If you guys are ready, we're just going to do it 3-2-1 like that.
3-1, Jesse.
I got to explain myself. I explained it last time, too.
Sure, please do.
They Live.
Great movie.
It's a great science fiction movie because it's like predicting the future. We now live almost
in They Live, yes.
In that situation, the Orwellian.
I haven't seen They Live.
You haven't seen They Live?
No.
That's the other one on the list.
Yeah, I hadn't seen three. Was it three?
Well, and then we knocked down Interspace mostly.
Oh, yeah, so it's two that I haven't seen on
the
list.
And I think the idea of having like some shades that do like some cool computer, like quantum computer shades sound like a really cool idea. Like it could like do augmented reality and
sounds
all that
very
cool
80s.
Stuff. Yeah.
But you're putting that against 89 Batman.
I know, and
that's
I
like
love
the first
that
Tim
Batman.
Burton Batman vehicle. Like Jack Nicholson is that's the true. Joker. Fucking Michael Keaton. He's my favorite Batman. I'm gonna say it right now.
I'm Batman.
Well, I mean, the Joker's part when he's like going through the art museum.
Oh my god,
that's like
yes.
one
yeah,
of
that's
my
the
favorite.
Best scene.
Yeah, it's one
Dancing
of my favorite scenes. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's great.
Like They Live was solely my thing. I think so. I needed to, and
explain
I love
yourself.
Batman.
It's hard. This was a very hard decision. I mean, come on, Roddy Piper. They Live. It's. I mean, that movie has everything. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but Batman.
It
should
also,
beat it out. Should beat it out. And I'm
the
glad
Batmobile.
It did.
Oh,
come on, 89 Batmobile, Nate.
I just got to stand. You know,
I
stand by
you.
My man.
I vibe you. I appreciate you. All right, we're going to go to Batman here. The cool thing is, folks, is also one thing to mention. We've had people, and we're going to do this at the end of the show once we've figured this bracket out. We've had people send in brackets. People have been responding to this really well, and they've liked the concept.
Yeah, on Facebook and Instagram.
So we're definitely going to bring up some of those. I got them on my phone over there. And yeah, we'll talk about those after this. Moving on, V, do you want to do the next one?
Sure, I'll take it. We've got The Princess Bride at a 3. versus Stripes, which is 14.
All right.
So this one is... Okay.
Stripes, Bill Murray.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Bride, Cary Elwes.
One of the best 80s movies of all time.
Andre the Giant.
I'm going to say it right now. It's a great movie.
Okay, are you guys ready?
I'm ready.
3-2-1. Bam!
High seed.
The only person that low seeded this was AP with Stripes, but it was also his pick. So, with no questions, it's Princess Bride. It's the far
Andre
superior
the Giant.
Movie.
It has literally everything, and it's got giants, monsters, chases, revenge, escapes, miracles.
I know.
All those things. And Cary Elwes.
Was it like a death cloak or something?
Yes.
What? I don't think it was called that, though.
No. What do they call that, V?
Like a...
The cloak
yeah,
that Andre the Giant wore?
He was like, give me, you know, like...
Oh, yeah.
I need
a Holocaust cloak.
A Holocaust cloak, that's right. Which
one? Oh, I got this at Miracle Max's.
Yeah.
Miracle I love Max. Billy Crystal in that movie. He was so good as Miracle Max.
His wife really laid down the law.
Oh, yeah, Valerie.
Carol Kane, right?
Yeah, Valerie.
Yeah.
I'm not a witch, I'm your wife. All right, moving on.
Warren, you want the next one, or V, you want the next one? Who wants the next one?
I'll take it.
Sure.
When Harry Met Sally versus Clue.
What's high?
High, Harry Met Sally, low, Clue.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Did you pick Jesse?
Low.
We have a split.
Oh, we have a tie. What's AP's pick?
Clue.
Damn. I feel like we need to vouch for When Harry Met Sally because it is a really 80s movie. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites. It's in my top five movies of all time. I love Sally.
Rob Reiner.
Okay,
I love Billy Crystal.
Okay, I will let you guys go first with why you can try to persuade us. Otherwise, I agree with AP. I also agree with Jesse that Clue is the far superior movie. The
Your dad picked Clue, didn't he?
He picked it to win the whole damn thing.
Yeah, that was his winner ultimate 80s.
He loves Clue, and I've seen it a fuck ton, so I can understand like why it's so good.
Well, there. I've only seen it I've seen it once all the way through when I was younger, and then in bits and pieces here and there on TV.
Tim Curry.
I know, I get it. I like that. But When Harry Met Sally I've seen it so many times. I have the whole movie memorized.
I love the parts throughout that they have, like, of the old couples that they're interviewing.
Yeah, that's it was so different. It was a cool way to make the movie.
I know what it is.
Super sweet.
This is the battle of Clue is a movie that is just a film. Like, it's a suspense kind of film, you know, whatever. And When Harry Met Sally is a more of a genre-driven film, being a rom-com kind of. So.
Well, I could say that Clue is a genre film. Clue is a very niche movie. I mean, it's got Madeline Kahn in it, and I fucking love her. But When Harry Met Sally is still going to stay my pick because it was like one of my favorite movies to fall asleep to. It's so romantic and so sweet. And I love the concept of like it took them like 12 years of like building this friendship to realize that they just were supposed to be together. You know, it was a great movie. And I love Meg Ryan.
I'm going to stick with When Harry Met Sally, too.
I feel like this is just, you know, it's boys versus girls right now.
It is. And it looks like Clue's going to win out on
all
this.
All right. Majority, majority rules.
I mean, sorry. Damn it.
It's so good.
Clue you had multiple endings. You've both seen When Harry Met Sally, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Come on now. I've seen When Harry Met Sally. Totally unrelated, but You've Got Mail, Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, God. I love all of those movies. Like Nora Ephron and Rob Reiner are my fucking jam.
You ready for this? How about Forget Paris? How about that? That's a deep ass cut. So, yeah, okay.
That is a deep cut.
Jesse, you want to take the next one, bud?
Sure. No, this is a great one.
Oh, yeah, it's hard. This is difficult.
Okay, so in our high seed, we got Die Hard. And in the low, we have Top Gun.
I'm ready.
So this is serious.
I'm ready.
This is a very serious
bracket.
Contend.
Keep in mind that Bruce Willie, he's my jam. Bruce Willie is getting roasted on Comedy Central, I think like today.
We're gonna fuck the sodomites in the...
I'm the co-host.
He's the co-host.
We're quickly approaching episode 50.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is like when I did JIC 50 with Nate and everybody, like they had some like big thing planned out. It was awesome. It was huge. And it was a good time. A lot of people. And we have nothing planned for episode 50.
Or do we?
Do we?
Drunkastrophe, bro.
Is that what's going to be 50?
I thought that's what we talked about.
Oh, well, we haven't done any planning, guys.
We've attempted to do planning, but Blaine's an idiot.
Depending on what's going on this Friday, I was thinking about possibly having it this Friday.
This Friday's out for me.
Damn.
I got dragons to slay, bro.
Tisk, tisk. So while we're...
Remember, we need to do Drunkastrophe 2 after Cameron turns 21.
But we have to wait until October for that.
I thought it was August.
His birthday is October 6th, apparently. But anyway, so while we wait our guest, I have some stuff I want to tell you.
Go ahead.
So today at work, the place you don't work anymore.
Nope, I do not.
I attended my first roundtable meeting.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got to sit with the president of the company.
How'd that feel?
The vice president of the company and a couple... heads of departments and whatnot.
Did you talk about lying about gas mileage estimations?
No.
Didn't think so.
I listened to the other people chosen from the other departments, and they mostly just complained about the stuff that they had to complain about. Mike, the thing I brought to the table was something that's been brought, and that's the AC and back on station 15.
They still have it.
They're trying to get us to sign off on it, even though nothing's happened. They haven't done anything. Anyway, so they started talking about the steel tariff. Someone asked about that. Someone asked about all of our parts issues. The most interesting one, though, was actually shocked me. Somebody asked, like, what are you guys doing for clean energy? Like, where are you guys at on clean energy? Like, solar and whatnot. And he's like, Tom Easterday, the vice president himself, he addressed that. He said, the three buildings that use the most energy are the rec center, the wellness center, and the child care center. And so, we can't put solar panels on the roof of the actual factory because it's too thin. It's basically a membrane.
Yeah.
And it just
it's
won't
just a shell.
Yeah, it just won't support the weight.
It's not meant to support any weight. It's just meant to keep weather off of you.
Mm-hmm. He said if we're going to do anything, it's going to be out towards those buildings, and it's just going to supply power for those buildings. They said years ago, I got a kick out of this. Years ago, they actually were talking about and had plans for putting a wind turbine out there. However, the migratory patterns of the birds that are in the ecosystem there, we at SIA, we have like a wildlife ecosystem there.
Habitat.
And so we have geese. Oh, there's more comments. Why is it not scrolling? That's so weird. Jennifer says Cameron's birthday was in December. Nobody knows when his birthday is, apparently. Apparently he doesn't even know. But so because of the geese, they can't put a wind turbine out there. because
the ducks and geese will fly into it.
Yeah, and I just thought that was funny. However, the biggest news.
Panda died.
No, but it does involve Panda.
Panda's pregnant.
No!
God damn it, I'm 0 for 2.
It's even better. This is some fucking...
Panda had her foot amputated.
Nope. This is some backwoods redneck shit I'm about to hit you with. Mr. Panda, apparently bought 3 riding lawnmowers.
Okay.
And is planning on... he's planning
racing
on
them?
Have a demolition derby with fucking lawnmowers.
Now, see, about 3 months ago, she told me that he was going to buy some and planned on racing them.
Yeah.
So, a lawnmower race team has quickly evolved into lawnmower Thunderdome demolition derby.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
David says he is on his way.
Lawnmower Thunderdome. Fucking episode title.
Fuck yeah. Unless something better comes up.
Hopefully
I had
does.
To do an amalgamation last week.
I like the episode title for last week.
Yeah. Because I actually listened to it again and...
Scroll Jack and the old heater eye.
And once I got to the whole heater eye part, I was like, oh yeah, that was the other one.
Old heater eye will get you.
So for those watching, I have a contest idea.
Go.
I have a contest idea. So... We really love the idea of Scroll Jack, and I love the way you described him as like a little tiny transformer. So I immediately started, I asked Cameron to draw one up, and but I figured it'd be fun if, for those of you who watch or listen, if you were to submit a drawing of Scroll Jack, we want to make this a merchable thing. We want to make t-shirts and stickers with this bastard on it.
Yeah, just post them on our page.
Yeah, post it on the page. Submit it to podcastrophypod@gmail.com. And if your image is selected, we will send you a shirt and anything we make of it.
And that, maybe like $5.
That's my pledge.
Maybe $5.
That's my pledge to you, future contest winner, if anybody participates. Basically, what I thought of for Scroll Jack was basically I took what you had, which
I don't even remember what I said.
You said something like a keyboard and a mouse, and it just transform into like a little bastard with a big
veiny triumphant dick. Yeah.
Big veiny triumphant like hydraulic dick.
Yeah. And, I remember saying that now.
And I took it a step further. I want like a Windows 95 like compact computer.
With the floppy disk slot.
Yeah, and it just transforms into exactly what you just said. So
yeah.
If you're listening, if you're watching, please draw this. Make us happy. Why is this not scrolling again? I hate this. Oh, we got Nate Phillips. Oh, yep. Jennifer says it says on his Facebook profile that it's October 6th. So you're right. You're right. Podfather in the his house. Oh my God.
Podmaster now.
Yeah, it's Podmaster now.
He's a master.
Hey, so Miranda, if you're watching, quit blowing up my phone.
Stop it.
Trying to do a fucking show here.
Stop.
So yeah, that was my exciting news, was the demolition derby.
So I,
she's that much closer to dying.
Blaine bringing up this contest idea has reminded me of a couple things that I've been lacking on, at least the last month and a half. I haven't been posting any polls. I don't really have any excuses other than, one, I haven't really had any time since I'm a college student again, and I've been working a lot, mm-hmm. and I kind of forgot about it. So, I mean, at least I'm honest. You know,
I
acknowledge the fact that I kind of suck. And I'm sure Micah's gonna let everybody know in the comments that I don't kind of suck. I actually really suck. But what's important is, my poll idea might eventually just evolve into constant contests. So it might be, like Blaine said, with Old Scroll Jack and the Heater Eye, you know?
Watch them draw Scroll Jack and he has like this red fucking laser eye.
But, you know, we might want a Scroll Jack t-shirt. We might want a Heater Eye t-shirt. We might want a Rollo the Destroyer t-shirt. I might just evolve the polls into having you guys design and post stuff and us turning it into badass t-shirts.
We're always looking for, like, design ideas. So, what better way to include the community, include the fans, let you guys participate. Than to make t-shirts and, like, profit off of them.
Yeah.
Yeah! Kidding. And we're doing our best to get something out to you guys so you guys can wear and represent something that you hopefully love watching or listening to.
And so we can afford to buy me a new chair.
Yes. That's really important. We looked at chairs before we started the show.
We found the one that I want.
We did that live on Facebook. We looked at chairs.
It's got a footrest.
I give an episode title right there.
Yeah, it's got a footrest.
It's got a footrest.
Anyway, so what else has been going on in the world of Blaine?
Oh, not much.
Besides touching dicks and...
Just been getting used to this house, you know, acclimating to... A new home, a new air quality, a new lifestyle, given I live with my girlfriend now. I live with her kids now. And all the trials and tribulations that come with that, which are not much. Her kids are great.
Which you are not.
What?
You're not great.
I'm pretty okay.
That's why you need a co-host. If you were great, you wouldn't need a co-host.
Maybe I just liked you a lot and wanted to include you.
Yeah, maybe that was past tense, the way that you said it. Maybe I don't like you at all. Maybe I've just been plotting to overthrow your show and steal your idea this whole time. These are answers that we might, may or may not ever end up with. We don't know. Hip. You never know someone's true motivations. No. Oh, I have a topic that isn't relevant to any of our potential guests that may or may not be here by next week. I heard an ad on the radio today that said Domino's will now deliver to hotspots. Have you not heard of this?
Hotspots.
Pull up. Open a tab. Show this for the live stream and just type in Domino's Hotspots.
Olivia.
So welcome to Kids for Sale podcast. On tonight's episode, we decided to try to do something new. We are going to let you in on our family dinner. So right now, the five of us are sitting around and eating our dinner.
Okay.
That was Scarlett. Livvy, say hi. Okay, well, that was Livvy saying mm-mm. And
hello.
Mark. That was Mark. And with me still is my co-host and my wife, Ashley. Ashley, say hey.
Yo.
Yo. The volume's going to be a little inconsistent because I've got the microphone spread out a little bit. So
Dad, did everybody you say no?
No, who said no?
I said
no?
Yo.
You said yo?
Yeah.
So, for tonight's dinner on the menu, we have... Someone made some homemade pierogies.
Hey, Dad!
That's
jalapeno. Not...
Ashley and I are eating homemade pierogies that someone from her work brought in for her. Mm-hmm. The kids are eating their typical chicken nuggets and french fries with a packet of applesauce and a juice pouch.
And chicken fries.
And chicken fries.
And fry fries.
And fry fries. That's right. So, let's start with,
I need those. I want those chicken fries.
You already have
You have some in your basket already.
Oh.
Yeah, see, there you go. So, I guess we can start by talking about, how was everybody's day? Mark, how was your day today?
Good.
What'd you do today?
Well, I mostly played football in the hallway.
Played football in the hallway? Ashley's choking over there. what else did you do? Football in the hallway? Oh, you were at your mom's house today, right? Because me and Ashley were both at work,
yeah.
So...
Yes.
We had to drop you guys... Well, your mommy came and picked you up this morning, didn't she?
Right.
Yeah. So you were playing football in the hallway at your mom's house today?
Yes.
All day?
Well, not all day.
Well, what else did you do?
I read some books.
Oh, yeah? What kind of books are you reading?
Well, I'm reading,
Papa the Noodle?
Oh my gosh. I don't know the titles to it.
You need help, Libby?
Were any of them like, Captain Underpants, or...
No, no.
Or what's the, other, the superhero?
I know Captain Underpants.
Dogman?
La, la, la!
La, la, la! Were you reading Dog Man today?
No.
No, he wasn't reading Dog Man?
No.
I can't tell what any of these are.
Yeah, we have a bunch of mystery pierogies.
Who did?
We've got like six different kinds, and we don't. I just made them all at the same time, so I don't know what any of them
Who
are.
Who did?
What?
What did you do today at work?
Well, today at work, I...
Watch movies?
No, actually, I had to drive like to the West Chicago suburbs today, so... And I got stuck in traffic on my way up to the city because there was a fire just off the Dan Ryan. So I was stuck in traffic for like an hour and a half.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
That was crazy.
That was hurt.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a bad fire, actually. I was hoping to hear on the news or the traffic report or something what it was. But it was
scary.
It was scary looking.
Dead.
You need me to open that, Lulu?
Hey, Dad?
Yes, buddy.
Was it a bridge?
So when I was going on the highway, there was a bridge that goes over the highway, and just on the side of the bridge was where the fire was.
It was so scary.
It was so scary.
So scary.
So that was half of my day at work today, was driving to pick up some parts and driving back and getting stuck in traffic both ways.
And it was so scary.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And crazy.
How good is your food?
My food is pretty tasty. How about yours?
Good.
Good chicken fries? Did I do okay?
Yep.
Yeah, Aldi's. That's where it's at. Aldi's chicken fries, Aldi's chicken nuggets, and Aldi's seasoned french fries.
Can you help me open this?
Yes, I can help you open your juice.
Did you just say seasoned?
Nope. Seasoned french fries.
Seasoned french fries!
That's right. How about you, Livy? What did you do today? You gonna tell me about your day?
Well, she mostly watched TV.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. With Mommy?
I would say with Sophie.
Oh, with Sophie? Sophie's your cousin, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What did you do today, Scarlett?
I did.
Did you go to daycare today?
And I fell down.
You fell down at daycare?
And then I got boo-boo in the blood. And then
a boo-boo in the blood?
Ooh.
Oh, no.
Didn't you fall down the hill the other day?
No. Yeah.
At daycare?
Yeah. And I...
That's probably funny.
Dead?
Huh? Yes,
can I have more chicken?
Help yourself.
Thank you.
Don't hog it all, though.
I will.
Make sure your sisters get enough. How about you eat a couple of french fries, too? Those french fries look pretty good.
Because they are good.
Yeah. Scarlett, what else did you do at daycare today besides falling down a hill and getting a bloody boo-boo?
Hey, Dad. Nothing else.
You didn't play with any of the kids? Uh-uh.
I played all by myself with Emery.
Hang on, Mark. Let Scarlett talk first.
Okay. I played with Emery.
You played with Emery?
Emery.
Was it fun? What'd you guys play?
Play slide, fall down the hole.
Slide, fall down the hole?
No. Slide, fall down the hill.
Oh, slide, fall down the hill.
Yeah.
That sounds like a fun game.
Hey. Does anyone want to listen to my guitar?
Yeah, let's hear your guitar, Mark.
Okay. First, I think I need to tune it.
Okay. Go ahead and tune it up. Livy, what did you watch on TV today? Oh, that sounds like a good show.
Barbie.
You watch Barbie today with Sophie?
Yeah, and also, it was with a mom and dad.
Oh, yeah?
And...
And what?
The fairy movie.
The fairy movie?
Yeah.
Was it Tinkerbell fairy movie?
No.
No?
Nope. Yeah, idiot.
Not at all.
Not at all. All right, Mark, are you going to play us a song?
No.
No? I thought you were tuning your guitar up so you could play us a song.
I'm not playing you a song. Jeez, I want everyone to hear it. Play my guitar.
Okay, play. Well, that's what I mean. Are you going to play me a song on your guitar?
I need a pick.
Well, there's probably a pick on Jack's amp over there. Oh, did we... I guess since the last episode we recorded, probably actually the day that we recorded it, or the day after we recorded it, I don't remember. We went to the shelter, and we got a dog.
What's the dog's name, guys?
Duck. Ducky.
Duck. So now we have a cat named Sarah and a dog named Duck, just like that show on Netflix called Sarah and Duck.
No, quack. Wait. Sarah and Duck. Sarah and Duck.
Libby, let go.
Sarah and Duck.
You can't find a picture over there. I don't know, buddy. You might have to play
Sarah
that.
Sarah and Duck. Quack.
There's a yellow one on the floor by the microphone stand. I'm sorry for the loud thump. He bumped the mic stand with his guitar.
I'm going to be careful.
So, Mark's going to play us a song now.
I am not playing you a song!
Okay, he's going to play his guitar for us.
That's the first one. That's the second one. That's the third one. That's the fourth one. That's the fifth one.
That's the sixth one. Now play stuff. Alright.
So that's what it sounds like.
It's sounding
better
good,
than
dude.
Your dad.
You want me to play?
He probably is.
That's why? No.
Well, let's sit down and eat first. You know, sit down and eat first.
Libby!
I think she might be going potty or something.
Scarlett, no!
Scarlett, please put the guitar down. You can play with the guitar after we're done eating, okay? Chick.
Ow, ow. Hey, guys.
Hey, back off of the microphone a little bit.
Scarlett and Libby are not doing this anymore. Or are you going still, Scarlett?
Are you going to come back and talk to us some more? Okay. Come sit down.
Why don't you tell everybody what your favorite color is?
Green and orange.
Green and orange? How about yours, Mark?
This is my favorite color. This is red, blue, purple, and pink.
Red. And my favorite color is green, orange, pink, and purple.
Libby, what are you saying back there, sweetheart? Oh, she just went upstairs and closed the door.
What's my favorite color?
Red and pink.
Just red.
Just red.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
So.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It's just a little applesauce. So back to the shelter. So what had actually happened was there was a sale I'm sure everybody heard about. It was the Build-A-Bear Pay Your Age Day at Build-A-Bear, where, you know, you bring your kids in, and however old they are, that's how many dollars they pay for a Build-A-Bear, which, if you have young kids, is actually a really good sale. Like, we have 2 4-year-olds and a 7-year-old, so we would have gotten 3 Build-A-Bears for $15, which normally they're each about $20 to $30, I'd say. We got loaded up in the car to go that morning, got on the highway, and got stuck in traffic. Actually, thankfully stuck in traffic, because while we were parked on the highway.
Now she's here.
Oh, okay. Well, while we were parked on the highway, we kind of were looking over Facebook and noticed that people were saying, you know, posting pictures of the line at Build-A-Bear at our local mall. And the line was insane. It was wrapped halfway around the mall, practically.
Yep.
And then we started, you know, seeing posts from the Build-A-Bear website that the promotion was so overwhelmingly popular that for safety reasons, they had to shut the lines down before most of the stores even opened. So they started having security guards stand at the end of the lines and just tell people, you know, we're done for the day, no more getting in line. Hey, are you going to come back and talk on the show?
Sorry.
Well, you can show me in a minute. Let me finish talking about the doggy, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, you don't have to apologize. It's fine. So, we were on the highway still, and we decided, since we can't go to Build-A-Bear, we went diverted to the shelter nearby, and we went in, talked to the woman, and said, hey, we've got 3 kids at home and a cat. You know, what kind of dogs do you have that would be good for our family? They showed us 3 dogs, and the first one was a little big, and he unfortunately nipped at Scarlet just a little bit. He didn't nip at Scarlet. He nipped at the treat in Scarlet's hand, but his tooth caught her on the hand, and she freaked out, so that dog went away.
The second one was really, 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 really crazy.
Yeah, she was hyper. She was a spaz. She was jumping all over, and we couldn't stop her, and... I mean, she was really sweet. She was really friendly. She liked to give kisses and stuff, but she was a little too hyper. So they brought in the third dog, and the third dog was, they named her Bonnie.
What are the other two?
The other two, the first one was Scout. The second one was, Honeybee or something?
Yeah, Honeybee. And the last one was Bonnie. She was really sweet.
Bonnie was really
deceptively
sweet.
Deceptively calm.
Yes, deceptively calm, which we should have known because the girl said right up front, like, this one's going to be a little more of a spaz than the second one, which I didn't see how that was possible. But then they brought her in, and she was really calm, and she was really sweet, and she sat and gave kisses and cuddled with the kids, and we all fell in love. So we adopted her that day and brought her home, and we renamed her from Bonnie to, what did we name her?
Ducky.
And that's how we have a dog now. That was 2 weeks ago, I think today, actually. We're recording this on Thursday. Because we're you know, last minute procrastinators.
Hey, do you know Five Nights at Freddy's at all?
Five Nights at Freddy's? Who are you asking?
Like from Five Nights at Freddy's, Bonnie, remember?
Oh, yeah, there's a character on Five Nights at Freddy's called Bonnie. But you're not supposed to play Five Nights at Freddy's, are you?
Yep.
Why not?
I'll have nightmares.
That's right, you'll have nightmares. It's a creepy game. I don't know if any of you parents out there, if your kids play it, but man, it's a weird game. And Mark doesn't handle it very well, so we don't play it in our house, do we?
Nope. Not at all.
Not at all. Libby, don't pull on Ducky's collar.
Does anyone like the whip and nae nae?
The whip and nae nae? Are you going to do the dance?
No.
No?
But I'll show you some of it. Run. Make sure you put your fist up and then your hand up. Fist, hand.
Can I take a video of that and I'll post it on the Facebook so people can see what you're doing?
It's time for Brews with Dudes. Ah, juicy. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, good fourth meal. I'm not sure when you're listening to this. So, Zach, your brew that you picked this week is going to start us off. Did you have anything that you wanted to say about what you brought while I'm cracking them open?
Only that I tried to look for something I've never had before, stuck out in my mind as an island lager. So I anticipate it being, you know, a little fruity, maybe a little, I don't know, honestly. And that's the whole excitement of it. I don't know what to expect. I can tell, seeing it now, it's very pale, and it looks very good. Smells nice and crisp. Little orange peel, maybe? I don't know.
You guys are so good at this. I'm such an amateur. At this beer thing.
At the beer thing, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe not the podcast thing.
Oh, you know.
You've been doing good so far.
Hey, thank you.
That's part of the fun, I think, that we're going to try to get into is we're going to have people who know how to, quote, talk about beer and people
yeah.
who don't.
We're
just going to try to find fun ways to describe things.
Yeah,
so.
I'm very excited for that because, like, I don't know much about it, and it's a nice learning experience.
Every taste is a learning experience.
Oh, yeah, true. I love how formal you guys are talking. Like,
it's going to devolve as we drink more beer.
Yes.
It
really
is very
light.
That is very light.
This is Kona Brewing Company's Longboard Island Lager.
I'm almost a little surprised at how light it is, to be honest.
You say Kona?
Kona, yeah.
Kona,
I believe
yes.
They got acquired by Budweiser or Anheuser-Busch.
Really?
Yeah.
I could definitely see why it's would be their island lager. This is something that I could drink if it was a very hot day. I know with certain beers, they sit a little too heavy sometimes. And
I could.
This one's got, for a light beer, which I'm not usually a fan of, this one has still a good flavor and doesn't just end up tasting like Bud Light or something of the latter, so... This is definitely something I could drink on a hotter day and enjoy.
Yeah, it definitely strikes me as something Grandpa would like. Grandpa's not a huge fan of the hops. Although this does have a good good
like
hop
a good,
character.
A good
it's
taste.
Not much, but... But yes, I'm also... Like Brett, I like my beers a little more...
Same.
A little more hitting you in the mouth with some flavor.
This is what you call a good warm-up beer.
Which is exactly what it is. So the format that we're going with the show and how we're tasting the beers is we ask every dude to bring a brew. And then we're going to try all the different ones that everyone brings. So this is one that Zach brought. I believe I brought some Revolution, the anti-hero. And then I also brought a bomber, which is going to be like our finale. the 18th Street Hunter Coffee. I'm really excited about that. And then, Brett's, yours was from Stone, but I don't quite remember what you exactly it was.
The one I brought, it's actually a limited release by Stone. It just hit the shelves maybe a week or two ago. I've got a coworker that really follows it, and he told me about it and said it came out finally. It's called Vengeful Spirit IPA. It's brewed with pineapple and mandarin, and I'm very excited to try it.
That sounds amazing. That sounds amazing. I'm really into the juicy. Seems to be too descriptive. It's definitely still a really strong beer, but that very fruity forward.
You're definitely very tasty and to enjoy all the time.
I've not had many many beers from Stone, but the last couple that I've had have been very pleasant. So it looks like we are grinding to a halt on the first beer. So we're gonna go refill the glasses, give them a quick wash. I wouldn't say we're slamming through the beer. We just took our first couple sips of the beer that Anthony brought.
I'm gonna like this.
Would you like to give us a quick rundown of what you brought, Anthony?
I brought Liftoff, a West Coast style IPA from Daredevil Brewing Company. 7.2 alcohol.
That's an Indiana brew.
I love the way it smells.
It's aggressively fun.
I would agree with that assessment.
It says it right there on the can.
I know. That's why. Yeah. We've got a guy. What has he got there? It looks like an early 1900s helicopter. Maybe it's a helicopter, not a plane.
Yeah. Maybe some satanic straps.
I don't. He definitely harnessed the power of something otherworldly.
Definitely a steampunk Da Vinci flying device strapped to his back.
There we go. I would agree with that.
That tastes good.
Yeah,
you look excited, beard. Dongo. Yeah, give us your first impression.
Well, one, it smells great. I'm tasting some good in this.
It's hoppy.
Yeah,
it's real hoppy.
This is what I'm talking about when I say it hits my mouth.
It's very forward with a citra hop flavor. Yes. When it hits your mouth.
But it's not overly hoppy.
Right.
It's pretty smooth.
It doesn't, there's no no bad aftertaste.
No, it's not really bitter.
It's especially tasty out of this Maxson's and Me pint glass.
Oh. I'm enjoying mine out of a Metal at Market Square 2017 glass.
I as well. That.
By the time this particular episode is aired, we'll probably be through night two. So I'm just going to assume that it was a great night. I'm also going to assume that most of us aren't going to have remembered some of it. But we'll still have, what is it, night three with Yesterday's Chips and Boner Jovi. November 18th, that'll be fun. And maybe by then we'll have one of those tasty new Maxson's and Me brews. We just did a pumpkin amber ale today. So I'm excited to see how that comes out. Austin, you got something sarcastic you want to say?
I like pumpkins.
You like to carve little holes in the pumpkin. And
very little holes.
Let me really put the emphasis on that little hole.
Not very deep either. Just scratch the surface.
Just right. Through the rind and I'm good.
Didn't take long to get to the dick jokes. Last week we just got a couple minutes further.
Yeah.
I could definitely put down a 6-pack of this, even though it came in a 4-pack.
Yeah. Well, see, just basic math at that point. You just get a couple. You get like 3, and then just go for the 2 6-packs instead of the 1.
There you go.
Yeah, it's easily drinkable. It's a Imperial. Is that what it said? Did I misread? No, it's not.
It's a West Coast style IPA.
It doesn't say the ABV. There it is, 7.2. I'm digging it. It's got a good color. It's not. It's very clear. It's not hazy. It's got a goldish hue.
I've actually had this several times before, and I always enjoy it.
I think I have had it before too, but it's.
I have never had it.
It's real good.
Me either. I can get down on this.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed it's popped up in more liquor stores and convenience stores lately, too, so it's a little bit easier to find now.
What's, so, Austin, this is your first time on. It's only the second one, but still your first time on. What kind of beer would you say is your go-to? What is your favorite kind of beer?
My go-to? It's definitely an IPA for the base, but I normally try to go for more of a light fruit hue IPA that's really smooth on the back and low carbonation.
Did you get one of those pineapple cosmic jacuzzis a couple weeks ago when we went to, what is it, Bedrock? Did you pick up that one? I know that, who are we with? I don't remember, but we both picked up the jacuzzi one. I really like that.
Yeah, that one was very tasty.
I like juicy. That's my favorite way to describe an IPA. It's juicy. I'm going to go on about that.
Yeah, we did that last episode.
It's nice so and juicy. Wet.
Nice and
wet. Yeah, a nice, wet, not dry. Juicy IPA. Wet, something that you can juicy. Really sink your tongue into.
It's been decided on by Austin that we're going to start the night off with some sex and candy. Because there are many ways you can view sex and candy as trick and treats. Because this is a special Halloween edition of Brews with Dudes. It's probably going to be another week and a half or so before anybody's going to see this. So Halloween's going to seem like a long ways away, but it's still near and dear in our hearts. I think we all spent a very good Halloween weekend.
Yeah, I had a pretty good Halloween weekend. Lots and lots of Halloweeness.
Yeah. Halloweeness.
Yes.
Now that is a good band name.
Halloweeness.
We are Halloweeness. Dun, 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 dun.
That's pretty good stuff, I think.
Dun, 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 dun.
It's hard to say if that's a good band title or just song title.
Either or. Let's crack into these cold ones, boys.
Oh, yes. I already like the color of this one.
Me too. Austin, do you want to give us a quick rundown of what we're looking at here?
This is Sex and Candy by 18th Street Brewery. It's
Marcy Playground.
India Pale Ale.
Oh, the beer.
There is not much to say about this on the can. It's just pretty much a...
Yeah, there's really not much to say on the can, except...
There's a bunch of handcuffs and candies, and...
So this is supposed to be kind of a...
Is this a couple's beer?
I guess. I guess we're all expected to tie each other up when we're done with this, so...
I mean, what would this be? I mean, I've heard of a devil's tricycle with two guys, one girl, but this is just three dudes.
I think this is just gay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It's a triple Dutch rudder.
Wow.
Oh.
We're definitely going to get down the creek with the three of us.
You know you're holding yours, you just don't know who's rowing.
Wow. So that is a new record. Third episode in. We're diving right in with the dick and gay jokes.
Yes. So that's a...
Damn it.
That's a nice flavor.
It goes down easy.
It goes down really easy.
It's like a candy IPA.
Yeah. Sex and candy. I agree. Mm. It's very... It's got a really sweet... Like, once it hits the back of your throat, it's really sweet.
It's very smooth, too. It goes down very, very nicely.
Can I get a juicy rating?
Let's see. On a scale of 1 to juicy... We'll give it a solid 7.5, I think. 7.5, 8. Pretty juicy. It's a little hazy. Slightly hazy. Definitely can't see through it. It's got a good orangey, kind of a golden color.
The citra hops are very forward in this one.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm digging the hell out of this one.
I like it.
So, Austin, how was your Halloween weekend?
My Halloween weekend was quite fantastic.
Did you clown out again?
Beelzebubbles did make another appearance. And he cream pied a trio of dwarves.
I heard about this.
There was cream pie everywhere.
It was all over the walls, all over the floor, all over some of the spectators, I believe, as well.
All over their instruments. It was sticky.
It was quite the sticky situation.
I believe they had it coming.
They did. They did have it coming. I believe a little blood was involved, too.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds painful.
It can't always go right.
No. That went very right.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure did. That being said, fuck off, dwarf. Don't mess with us.
We'll Doom room or die. You. Doom room or die.
I missed that part. I left too early.
God damn it. It was pretty late. I think we were running awfully behind that night.
Yeah. I was just ready. I was done.
It happens.
It bummed me out because I really wanted to stay for Sarcophagy.
They killed it, as per usual.
Really? Yeah. Limb Splitter was fucking sick.
Yes, they were. Drove the 5-some hours from Ohio to get down with us. Isis is struggling up onto the couch.
Yeah. She's all Halloweened out tonight with a
nice little skeleton vest. Not vest, but a sweater.
Yep. Little sweater vest.
She almost took out a microphone with her.
She tried. She is not graceful.
Where did you get this?
I actually found this. I was up north, actually, in towards Fort Wayne on 24, heading towards Fort Wayne. Heading to the Black Dahlia Sarcophagy show, or not Sarcophagy, Black Dahlia Murder and Suffocation show a few weeks back.
Very nice.
And there's quite the nice liquor store there with a huge assortment of beers, and I picked it up there.
Very, very nice choice. I like it. I like it a lot.